Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for your help to speak your word, even as your servant is going to minister to us tonight, that you would help me to stir the heart of your people. You would help me to go over the things that you've said, you know, through your servants, our parents, our pastors again, and prepare our hearts for to receive blessings from you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. The meeting has been nothing short of God's mercy. The meetings have been nothing short of God's blessing. From the opening meeting, when Pastor Jeff began speaking to us of the word, when Pastor Jeff began talking to us about the word, you know, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1, Pastor Jeff, that was another Pastor Jeff that first night. And I think Pastor Jeff was possessed by the spirit of God's servant, Daddy. You know, because Pastor Jeff, you know, spoke in ways, I was just looking at him. I said, is this Pastor Jeff? You understand? You know, obviously the spirit of Daddy was so mightily upon you. I sat, you know, back there, you know, listening at home, and I was tremendously blessed. You opened the meeting, sir, talking about, you know, the word. You know, you talked about the person of the word. You talked about, you know, the word of God. And you know, later that night, our daddy came up and began also, you know, ministering, you know, along that same line, shedding more light on what, you know, the word of God really means. I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. If you're there, say amen. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Let's say amen. So one theme that has been so overwhelmingly taught by the Lord, Daddy, our dear Mommy Ellen, you know, on all our pastors that have ministered in various shades and expression, is the ministry of our Lord Jesus, you know, the ministry of the high priest, the ministry of our Lord Jesus, the ministry of the high priest in bringing forth the word. Leading up to Believers' Convention here in Nigeria, one thing that was taught over and over from different sides, you know, while, you know, Daddy taught, you know, from this same studio, was the ministry of the high priest. You know, that the ministry of the high priest over time in EGFM and sister ministries, daughter ministries, things about the high priest have been taught. The ministry of the high priest had been exalted, had been raised. But in the last six thereabout months, the Lord had increased sight through his servant on who the high priest is, and what particularly the high priest speaks. That the high priest actually speaks the word of God and speaks the law of God. Can we say the word of God and the law of God? Let's turn to a scripture Daddy read, you know, earlier today, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, the morning meeting earlier today was most profound, I must say. If I would say, I've not seen Daddy ministered in that particular behavior of the Lord before. You know, maybe because of close observation. So you give attention to almost every behavior and every manner that the Lord expresses through Daddy. The way Daddy ministered earlier this morning, I have not seen it that way. Now, Daddy talked about of course, I already began talking about the word, you know, picking it up from where Pastor Kadian, you know, left off about image. And Daddy began talking about image, talked about how the 6 days in Genesis is actually a build up of the image. At the end of the day, on the sixth day, everything God had done for the first 6 days is God actually forming the image. And Daddy went ahead to say the formation, the sum total of that image is actually the word in a figure. The word that God actually, while he was, you know, forming that man's image, he was actually, you know, using wisdom, God's wisdom, to use his word to frame the image. And Daddy went forth to talk about the fact that, you know, the image, when it is raised before a person and a person beholds the image, once you behold the image, you become that image. And Daddy tied the issue of the image precipitating rest. You know, that God built that image, you know, first day, second day, third day, and on the sixth day, the image or the seed of the image that is said earlier today had been framed, as it were. Then, you understand, as a result of that image, which hadn't appeared, but appeared on the seventh day, God could rest. And that it tied that explanation to the book of Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, leading up to chapter 4, wherein, you understand, you know, there is also a reference made to what happened in Genesis. You know, the author of Hebrews, Paul the Apostle, you understand, you know, in speaking of the image, now in chapter 3 of Hebrews, he's actually talking about the image, in talking about the house, like Daddy had told us over and over again, you know, speaks of the house, speaks of the image, the bread, the water, in wisdom, you know. So the whole of Hebrews chapter 3, you understand, which is a continuum of the thought in chapter 2, in chapter 1. In chapter 1, he was talking about the ministry of the word. He upholded all things by the word of his power, you understand. And he kept explaining it, you know, here, there, in wisdom. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, he began saying, "Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider, you know, the apostle and high priest of our profession." Verse 2, thank you. You understand? He said, "Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." You understand? "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has builded the house had more honor than the house." And that he had said again and again, what is used to frame the body, using Daddy's language, which is scripture, or what is used to frame the house, or in this case, what is used to frame the image, is the word of God. You know, what is used to frame the body, or what is used to frame the image, is the word of God. So Daddy explained earlier today how that it is the word that is used to frame or build the image. And Daddy took the thought, you know, from, you know, just teaching it from the Old Testament, you know, Exodus, Genesis chapter 1, leading up to chapter 2. And Daddy brought it into, you know, book of Hebrews chapter 3, leading up to chapter 4, where Daddy now went specifically to verse 12 of Hebrews, specifically verse 12. He said, "For the word of God." Now, the issue here is that God wanted to come into rest. You know, Paul the apostle was making reference to a wisdom in Genesis, how that it is until an image, or the image that the Godhead, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, before man was made, they all had one image in common. It is until the image is formed before God can come into rest. And that is said, you know, God labored to bring forth that image before he entered into rest. And God, that is it, you know, it's also, you understand, you know, an expectation of God upon everyone who's now a Christian, who's now born again. We're born again in our spirits. We're Christ in our spirits. After being born again, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's say amen. After being filled with the Spirit, all things being equal, if a person is in the right place, you are taught the milk of the word. You use the milk of the word to become a child in your soul. And you learn the meat of the word, or learn Christ, and become a man in your soul. Then you now come, you know, which is the season of the years of the Lord. In the season of Christ, you are in the years of the Lord, you know, the acceptable year of the Lord. Then we now come into the season of the day, which is the season wherein the high priest begins to give the word that will make for image formation. Let's say amen. But image formation for somebody whose soul has become Christ would not be made possible if the person does not, you know, yield to the ministry of the spoken word that the high priest executes in labor. A Christian who's come as far as Christ, like this Hebrew church, Paul's admonition to them is that they have to labor. They have to labor. If they don't labor, they will not, you know, cooperate with the Spirit for the image of God to be formed in them. One can become a Christ, which is a great feat in our soul, having used the newness, the new things of God that is in the new man. We've learnt it. We put off the old man. But after that great feat has been done, a soul now needs to learn the word of God. Now, the word of God in this case is not just, like we've heard several times from our daddy, our mommy, our pastors, it's not just the scriptures like this, even though the whole scriptures, this is the word of God, this 66 book is holding a storage of the word of God that came to Isaiah, that came to Jeremiah, that came to John, that came to our Lord Jesus, is holding varying seeds of the word that came to different men in old time. From the word of God that we found in Genesis, because John chapter 1 bore witness to the fact that what was used to make all things, he said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. It was the word of God God used to make this present. It's the word God used to make the heavens. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 or verse 6, is the word, or verse 7, is the word of God God used to make this present heaven a kind of the word, and a natural, visible kind of that word, God used it to make the earth. Then after the season, he said, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word. So God used a kind of word to make the heaven. He used a kind of word to make the earth. Let's say amen. Amen. Then over time, after man fell, he still was speaking his word. There is something that is called the word of God. So inside of the scriptures, there are many, many kinds of words. But there is that which is called the word of God. And that word of God is a high word. Now in the New Testament, for us who are saints, you understand, in the epistles, the era of the epistles for us who are Christians, that word is the word that the high priest speaks. Is the word that Jesus as the high priest speaks. He speaks that word to a people who have become new men or new man in our soul. And every time a people grow to the point wherein that ministry of Jesus is triggered and he begins to speak, he speaks for to call us to come and labor. Labor in hearing and labor in obedience. Because if he doesn't speak that word, we will not carry his image in our inside. Let's turn to the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, I think that should be verse 27. John chapter 6, verse 27. This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Everybody say labor. Now, this laboring is laboring to hear. I'm not lying to you. One of the great mercies that our generation has found is to have the Lord deal with his servant and his handmaiden to the point wherein they can come to, through the help of Jesus, to be laborers in the word. Now, somebody can be preaching two times, three times a day, and he's not yet a laborer in the word. Somebody can be laboring in scriptures and not be a laborer in word and in doctrine. I think that should be First Timothy chapter 5. He said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that who labor in word. It takes a lot to labor in word. It even takes the mercy of the Lord to see what is called the word of God. Pastor Jeff called it, I think the first night, it's an invisible thing of God. The word of God is invisible. So without the mercy of Jesus, that word cannot be seen in the first place. Unless a person has used the meat of the word and prospered with the meat of the word, the person cannot even know what is called the word. Until Daddy began teaching, of course, Daddy has taught around the world in different seasons over the almost 20 years that I've been in EGFM. But in recent times, in Daddy teaching, it just occurred to me, there is what is called the word of God. Hebrews 1 calls it the word of God. Of his power. And in the season of speaking that word, there are various behaviors that you can find amongst the people that that word is spoken to. And the book of Hebrews chapter 3 bears witness to some of it. Let's read Hebrews chapter 3. Back to Hebrews chapter 3. Now, if you read from chapter 1, I don't mind my back and forth. In chapter 1, he began saying, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet. Now, God who spoke to the fathers by the prophet, what was he speaking? He was speaking his word. There was a strain of his word. There was a specie of his word. Not the exact one he gave to his son, but that specie of his word, he spoke it through the prophets. So you hear Isaiah say, Isaiah, the son of Amos, the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah, the son of Amos. So God spoke to the elders, to the ancestors, Jewish ancestors, through the prophets. Then in verse 2, he said, at in these last days spoken unto us by his word. Now the core dedication of this book of Hebrews is to this ministry of the word and the law. Or the blood that follows the word. Then he trailed it. He compared Jesus with prophets. He compared Jesus with angels in chapter 1. Then chapter 2. Still that same thought continuing. He said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What are the things which we have heard? The word in chapter 1. Verse 2, at in this last day spoken unto us. Now, the us is not every Christian, one. The us also is not the audience he is writing to. But people like Paul, they've heard the word. So he's telling people he's writing to because he has written something to them from chapter 1, from verses 1 to 14, that we ought to give the more earnest heed because this word is a slippery word. Because when this word is being spoken, it looks like you are just preaching normal. But in the spirit, the gene type of the word has changed. In the spirit, it is not just, you hearing a word being spoken by the Holy Ghost alone. It is now God's word being spoken through the mouth of the high priest by the Holy Ghost through ministers that he has raised. And not properly discerning it, that word may slip. Because angels have a version of their own word of God, like that is said earlier. Because the same God who gave prophets a species of his word to speak, have also a species of his word that he gave to high angels. And he said, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, meaning it remains, that every disobedience, transgression receives a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which began to be spoken by the Lord? So in the days of the flesh of Jesus, he was actually speaking this word. He was speaking this word. Now, you may have read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and never took note between, you understand, you know, took note of the fact that what Jesus was actually saying, there was, you know, is actually the word of God. Because there is a difference between the word of God and the words that precedes, if you check the order of the tabernacle, precedes the arrival at the time wherein the high priest himself begins to speak. John chapter 14, we'll get back to it, you know, Hebrews, John 14 verse 10. John chapter 14 verse 10, I'd like to read. He said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" He said, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." What are the works that the Father was doing? He was doing the works of words. He was doing the works of words. Meaning, like Daddy said, you know, God was actually working words. Or words were being generated to show the works of God that Jesus labored with, and he labored on until he got to the place wherein he was ready for rest. You know, he said, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth." So the first New Testament laborer with God was our Lord Jesus. Meaning God was actually speaking his word to Jesus. Jesus was hearing God's word. He was hearing God's word, and he was doing it. Because he said in another place, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So Jesus, our Lord, was hearing the word, and that word was showing what to labor on. So without the word, we won't see how to labor. The labor of the image. Some days ago, was it yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago, Daddy was ministering, and Daddy was talking about that we actually ate something from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That man ate an image, and that image is part of our frame. And when Daddy said that, later on, reading scriptures, you understand, meditating, it's obvious that that thing that we ate is what's responsible for how our frame is. We ate something that has propelled a wrong labor that is making us go in a wrong direction. But blessed be God that the Lord in his mercy has begun speaking to us. You see this Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The day we fully understand it, we will probably remove our slippers and just be walking on the street and be saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Because why? It's difficult to come to the present tense reality of Jesus speaking to a generation. It's very difficult for him to come to the point where he's saying, now, in the days of his own flesh, Jesus, it was the Father who was speaking to him. It was the Father who was generating words that brought forth labor. He labored. He labored in obedience as a result of the word. But for us, the Father isn't doing it. He is the one. Jesus is the one who's speaking the word. He's speaking the word that should generate our labor. Let's say amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3. I read from verse 7, from verse 1 till previous verses. It was talking about, you know, the house, or you can call it the image that, you know, God wants to build, the high priest wants to build through him speaking. Then verse 7, he said, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be adding to the deceitfulness of sin." Verse 15, "While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Let's say amen. Now, we are in that season wherein we are also to hear his voice. Now, the mighty thing about those two verses, 7 and 15, is if. It's if. It's not guaranteed that every Christian will hear his voice. Eh? That if you will hear his voice. Because this is voice is the voice of salvation. And there are things around this voice. Listening to Daddy, you know, Daddy is a prophet of God who ministers by inspiration. If you read this book of Hebrews, it says if they will hear his voice. So it's not everyone that is guaranteed to hear his voice, even though everyone is called to come and hear his voice. Now in the season, I was saying Daddy is a prophet. Now the way Daddy ministers by inspiration. You know, Daddy's an apostle, is a prophet. Daddy teaches, you know, as the Lord inspires him, as the Lord leads him. Now, the way the ministration goes, sometimes it may not look the way we expect ministrations to go. Sometimes the ministrations may not be arranged. Like I noticed since the beginning of the, during the convention in UK, Daddy kept going back to Christ. All our ministers, they kept going back to teaching Christ. But these teachings in the United Kingdom, you know, very seldom has the thing gone down to Christ. It's just, so if somebody who's been listening to our meeting will be like, okay, which one is Christ? Which one, you know, is everlasting life? No, it's because of the behavior of the Spirit. Now, the way the Spirit of God is ministering, like we see in this Hebrews, the Lord speaking, he calls for belief. He calls, he was telling them in this Hebrews chapter 3, leading up to chapter 4, because there is temptation around where the Son of God is speaking. When the Son of God is speaking, you have things that come to question what is being taught. You have things, you understand, because Jesus was grieved. God in the Old Testament was grieved with some people because of their unbelief. And their unbelief was shown. He said, they tempted me, they proved me, or they examined me, and they saw my works. Later he said, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Somebody will be like, what's wrong if I am proving you? God somewhere, permit me to say it this way, wants us to foolishly believe. Just like Pastor Ansberg taught, God wants us to foolishly believe, because some of the things that are being spoken are not things that are in the realm of our rationalization. But there are things that God's mercy is permitting to be spoken. Somewhere I feel, and you know, from God's word, listening to our parents, our pastors, I feel that the things we are hearing as the Lord is moving our daddy, our mommy, all our pastors who minister, you understand, you know, under them, are things that, you know, is needed to be spoken for the sake of the body of Christ. Pastor Jeff, the things that are being spoken by the Lord through his servant are things, you know, generally, you know, the temptation is to say what people want to hear. The temptation is to attend to what, you know, as it were, are obvious pressing needs. I'm not lying to you. There are obvious pressing needs in the church. In our midst also, there are obvious pressing needs. But I know the Lord has given his servant and his handmaiden might and made them drunk with the Lord. For to just keep saying this thing, a people need to hear this thing to the end. A people need to partner with the Lord Jesus for these things to be spoken into the earth. Because there are things that Satan wants to make sure are not spoken. And I think it's the prophetic behavior around the servant of God that just aligns with the Lord for to make sure it comes out. Sometimes proper arrangement shuts it. And much more, the sovereign will of God, the sovereign calling of God that is upon the servant of God, upon the handmaiden of God. Now, this is where, you know, I want to say a few things, then we'll pray, you understand, as our daddy, you know, comes forth. That we need to trust God, you know, in these times wherein the word of God is being declared. Individually, that we will yield to the spoken word that the high priest is declaring. And what is the spoken word? The high priest is saying his image. The high priest is giving, you understand, understanding of things that will make for the formation of his image first in us. I've seen the passion with which Daddy has been talking about the word of God, the word of God. That word has to accumulate in image formation in our soul. Because if that image is not formed, the adversary is having the upper hand, meaning we are beholding another image. And God wants to heal us from every other image. Daddy said, you know, Satan being evil, how he inverted the issue of, you know, us beholding another image is he made us our own image. He didn't necessarily say, okay, come and look at something else. He just turned us to face ourselves. But in reality, he is actually fighting the image of God. And that in itself is actually fighting the formation of God's image in us. And if God's image is not formed in us, we will not be able to come into the reason why the ministry of the high priest is being stirred forth. Let's say amen. I'd like us to pray before Daddy comes forward this morning that God would help us, that God would strengthen us, you understand, to, you know, receive fully all the expressions of the ministry of the Son of God at this time. All the expressions, all the behaviors, all the ways that the, you know, ministry of the Son of God, you know, wants to be brought forth to us, that the Lord would help us. Can we go ahead and begin to pray in the name of Jesus? All the expressions, that whichever way the Lord would want to come through his servant tonight, that the Lord would show us mercy. That the Lord would show us mercy. The Lord will help us to align in hearts, to align in mind, to align with our spirit, to receive the ministry of the Son, to receive the spoken word, to receive the law from the mouth of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.